comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome one and all to episode 11 of Nerds United, found on jitterymonkey.com until we figure out how to get the damn thing on iTunes. Hasn't happened yet. I've been in talks with my guys, and that's all it's been. It's just talks. Apparently, there needs to be a transaction made. Like, if they want to, or if I want them to help set me up on iTunes, apparently I've got to grill steak or fry chicken or provide them with food or cupcakes. I don't know. Anyway, long story short, hasn't happened yet. I know. Soon, because, you know, I want to certainly be on iTunes by the time we get to fall, and I, fingers crossed, knock on wood, have a chance to visit with Brad Meltzer. Ah! How can I not have iTunes for the man, the myth, the Meltzer? It's got to happen by then. It absolutely have to be on iTunes or some other, you know, large, you know, firm foundation. Large and firm, that sounds bad. No, some firm foundation, solid ground for the masses out there, for mass consumption. Have to get it out there. But anyway, since it's not there yet, I certainly appreciate you taking time to head over to jitterymonkey.com, to the Nerds United series. And, you know, more good things are happening. I've got people talking to me all the time about getting shows that they want on. We've got guests coming up out the wazoo. I've got a guest with me tonight, a group of them. This is the largest that the Nerd Cave. That's horrible. The Nerd, let me see, Fortress of Nerditude. No. The studio. I've got a mess of them here. Looking forward to talking with the folks from Stash Publishing. Visiting later this weekend for an upcoming show with my buddy Joe Dodd, who is an artist, and we'll find out all about him. He's drawn for Marvel, drawn Nightwing for DC. He drew and conceptualized an action figure for the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie. Say what you want about the movie, but it's still cool. It's somebody that I know, somebody that I've hung out with, drank beers with, talked tattoos with, watched wrestling with, created a toy, or at least drew, you know, the art side. He didn't, you know, put the plastic piece with that plastic piece and the head and smash it all together. No, good buddy of mine, Joe Dodd, will be visiting with him this weekend for an upcoming show. And a young lady who is a pretty good friend of mine tried getting me a job at the local video store. It didn't work, and I didn't shave my beard. And so there you go. But she's quite a talented singer, and she's working on a project in the works with an independent video game developer as she provides some of the vocals, some of the soundtrack. And she's a bit of a nerd at heart, too, in the gaming realm. So I'll be excited to talk with Miriam Diaz-Rutland down the road, all leading up to the fact that eventually someday we're going to get back to names that you're more familiar with, I guess. In the meantime, I'm going to keep bringing my friends in here, and we're going to keep talking comics, be it they creators or just appreciators of the medium. So without any further ado, we're going to take a time out, allow some of our fine sponsors to help. That's why it helps keep this show free, because of the sponsors that we have. So here you go. I'm kidding. I don't have any sponsors yet. Still working on Ski XL Bottling out of Breeze, Illinois. By the way, they also do beer with that Clinton County flavor, which means nothing to you if you're not from Clinton County. But Carlisle Lake Lager, they have a winter ale. I haven't tried any of them, but I do drink Ski daily. So I'm hoping that the good people at Ski will eventually call me back or answer the phone when I call them initially, which I haven't done yet. So I'm going to sit down now with the gang from Stash Publishing. We talked with Drew and Lauren last year in the summer months about Ginormous. And David, he's finally not working, so he's joining in this conversation, as well as the rest of the crew. We visited with Anthony and Shane about their double feature Tabula Rasa Butterfly that we talked about back in September. And, of course, Jordan was in on that. We're going to meet the rest of the gang. Here we go. The crew from Stash Publishing, and oh, how they've grown. We've talked with them a couple of times. We've talked with the ginormous crew, and then we've talked with Shane and Anthony and Jordan a little bit when he steps in. But this is the crew. This is Stash Publishing, local independent comic book publishing group based out of the Metro East, the St. Louis Metro East area, Alton, Illinois primarily. Let's go around, and as I point to you all, introduce yourselves, and then we'll get to you how we go. Left to right. That's me pointing.
Okay. Hi, I'm Shane Crash.
Jordan Williams.
Ryan Lawson.
David Tickner.
Anthony Mathenia.
Oh,
sorry, behind you.
Alice Harvey.
Lauren Owsley.
Drew Rose.
And I know we've talked with most of the crew, but the crew has grown. Shane, you're now a part of Stash Publishing. In fact, inducted in the orientation rituals and traditions just tonight, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's really sore.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you know, a lot of times you enter an organization and they have to put you through some pretty rigorous but secret rituals. What can you share about the ceremony?
It was really uninteresting. not at all like you just described.
Okay. Was there at least you know, pizza and soda?
I have a Heineken.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
There's beer in Yoo-Hoo.
That's a party that I want to be at. Why am I not there with you? Oh, probably because I live like an hour and a half away. So let's, like I said, we've met the majority of the crew, but there are a few that we haven't had a chance to talk with. Let's start with David Tickner, because we talked a lot about him in the Ginormous episode. You got to go all the way back to episode 3, I think it was. Of course, Ginormous, David worked on with Drew and Lauren. And David, just a little bit of background about you. Let's start. When did you become interested in comics?
Probably around 5 or 6. Just found one at a gas station randomly, and just kind of started picking them up more and more from there.
Do you have a favorite, I don't know, a favorite character, maybe from a child or something now that you've kind of latched onto?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, it's still Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well.
It's oldie but goodie.
Now, taken primarily, see, my guess is you're probably about the same age as me. Cartoon, video game, or straight from the pages? Was there a Sonic book?
Say what?
Was there a Sonic the Hedgehog book back in the
day? There was. Actually, there still is.
There you go. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't he now owned by, I mean, we've seen the Sonic and the Mario kind of mashups. Is Sonic now owned by Nintendo?
I don't know.
I think they just rent him out.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works.
Pimping out the hedgehog. So it's been Sonic your entire life. Now, what got you into the creative side of comics?
Kind of just by chance, really. It was as soon as the thought kind of came to me, Stash ended up happening. It's kind of just a freak occurrence.
They say in real estate, it's location, location, location. Apparently in comics, it's timing, timing, timing.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Dave, we'll talk with you certainly and the entire group throughout. But let's introduce Alice Harvey now. And Alice, a little bit about you. Where are you from?
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, formerly Charleston, South Carolina for a little bit, but mostly St. Louis.
Mostly St. Louis. Are you a Gateway girl?
Yeah, sure. We'll call it that.
Wow. Did not sound nearly as enthused as, you know. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. when did...
I'm sorry. I lied. I love St. Louis.
Now we see the truth, folks. What got you into comics?
It was kind of the same as Dave. It was kind of a freak incident. Like growing up, I was really into like Batman, obviously. And then I was also really into drawing. later on in high school, I was really into webcomics, though. So I read a lot of, like, Penny Arcade and Questionable Content, Scary Go Round, still reading them to this day. And a really good friend of mine got me into, like, X-Men. She really got me into Cassandra Cain, Batgirl. And just kind of, like, on a fluke, my friend was involved with Stash. She said, hey, you like to draw? They're looking for artists. And here I am.
So what... not to understate or anything, but what's your contribution so far to Stash Publishing?
Oh, God, not a whole lot. I can't believe you brought that up.
But lots of projects in the work, as I'm sure we're going to talk about, right?
Yeah, I've got a couple of stories written. I'm kind of beating around the bush illustrating those, working on a few prints right now, hoping to get involved more in the future, though. I'm definitely in a good place to start contributing some serious work.
And it's my understanding that's what's beautiful about Stash Publishing is it gets, you know, somebody who has some of that interest and certainly some talent as well, kind of gets their foot in the door. And obviously, you know, I know most of the crew, but, you know, working with good people, everybody helps out each other.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I feel like I started off kind of drawing as a hobby, and I can definitely tell over the past couple of years that I've really kind of flourished into an artist. I can really be proud of what I'm producing. So it definitely gave me that. I'm grateful for it.
So let's switch over now.
I'm also an accomplished pastry chef.
Oh, no way. You just got the fat guy in me just so excited.
That's always a good person to have around.
See, I haven't actually contributed any printed art yet, but I mean, I can bake, so I'm pretty sure that's why they keep me around.
Everybody has their talents. Now that's great, because now I know where to go when I want to talk comics and eat. So, Ryan Lawson, let's bring you finally into the conversation, and let's learn a little bit about bit more about you, and let's start with your contributions to Stash.
Let's see. I've written a few stories and illustrated a few things in some of our anthologies, and I did a short run on a web comic. And then I'm currently working on a project called Somnium that should be out later this year.
What got your interest? What kind of Kickstarter was the catalyst for you in comic books, be it, you know, early in life, middle, you know, teen years, or currently?
Well, I've always been extremely interested in superheroes and everything. And so luckily I got to grow up around the time of the 90s Batman animated series, which was fantastic. And so that really sparked my interest. And then I actually got a job at Heroic Adventures about 2 years ago, and met up with Drew then. And I was going to school for art and all this other stuff. And Drew told me about getting together with a couple of other people to make some comics, and everything from there is history.
Now, again, let's give the shout out to Heroic Adventures in Edwardsville.
What?
Thanks, Drew. Is it sad that I knew exactly who would react in a certain way?
It's not sad to me.
Oh, well.
I know.
Let's give a plug to Heroic Adventures, because it seems like that's been a nice little central hub for the group.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's where we started, and we all go there regularly.
I personally think that it's awesome to have, you know, a brick and mortar that you can call home. So props to that. I've been in Heroic Adventures. If you are ever looking for comics and you're in Edwardsville or that area, you can't go wrong stepping in there. How many of you, I know, Drew, you're an employee there, manager, I guess. Anybody else actually work at Heroic Adventures?
Just me, Ryan.
Okay. Awesome. So,
cat there named Chris. We're working on him, twisting his arm, trying to get him on board.
It shouldn't take much. I mean, after the Stash Publishing's third appearance on Nerds United, I mean, celebrity, the women swooning, you know.
I got married. It worked.
It's true.
I got nothing for that. But anyway, stop in and see Ryan and Drew and everybody else who works there at Heroic Adventures. They're going to take real good care of you. So anyway, check that out. But I guess now that I've got the entire crew together, did we ever address how the name Stash Publishing came about? I mean, how Stash? I mean, if you check out the article that was recently printed up in the Advantage News, and that is an Alton publication.
Yeah, yes, well, it's a Greater Alton area.
Alton area. You know, the I like the line in the first paragraph. Keep a stash of Stash comics handy. Two different kinds of stash. The stash that for the publishing, a little bit of hair on the old upper lip. How did the name come about?
Yeah, well, how did it come about,
Lauren?
I blame Lauren.
Emotion carries. It was Lauren who came up with Stash. So why'd you come up with Stash, Lauren?
Cheese Factory wasn't good enough.
Might have also. Oh no, I was thinking Cheesecake Factory.
Well, I don't know exactly why we chose the name, but we're having a lot of fun with it. I mean, it just so happens at the same time, like mustaches became this big, huge thing. So when we go to cons now, we have fake mustaches we hand out. Everybody loves them.
And if anybody goes to stashpublishing.com, then they can see, you know, I like the logo. It's the old style, I guess I'll call it a barbershop quartet type of mustache. I'm sure it has a proper name for that. I don't know. But also the monocle. I'm a big fan of the monocle, just that touch of elegance to it. Let's get into the meat of things, what we've been, or not what we, but what you all have been up to since the last time we talked, which is when I talked with you, Shane, and Anthony, and of course, Jordan. What's been going on? I know Seven Deadly Sins came out this fall, and it's been a lot of fun to read.
Yeah, that was our next big anthology that came out this fall for Project Comic-Con in St. Louis. And one of the things that kind of separated that from the anthologies we've done in the past was Seven Deadly Sins. We wanted to do something that had kind of a cohesive theme throughout, and it was something that everybody was able to jump on board and participate in one way or another.
Let's talk about, because you said, I forgot the word. But anyway, Seven Deadly Sins is the second, I guess, collection, correct, that Stash Publishing has been put out. You put one out just last spring, it seems.
Right. The one we released last spring, which was actually our first, that was a kind of a hodgepodge of whatever we've been working on since the group got together. So it had some short comics, also some creative exercises that we were doing. And that was actually the first thing that we put out as a group, and it taught us how to print comics. And then after we put that out, we wanted to take it to the next level, put out something that had a cohesive theme, and also, whereas the first one took over a year to put together, we gave ourselves kind of a strict timeline of just a few months to put out Seven Deadly Sins, and we were successful in doing that, and it kind of prepared us for bigger things to come.
Now, when you say give yourself kind of a strict deadline or a hard count, if you will, what was the time frame that you were looking at? Because Seven Deadly Sins, seven stories that all had to fit together. Did you have, as you started things out, and you started things out with Lust, did you have, you know, creative team of Lust going to the next chapter and saying, you know, this is a little bit of where the direction's heading, or was it seven different stories that, you know, all had the central, I guess, central storyline?
Well, how we worked it, I mean, it's seven different stories, but how we worked it was, we had everybody do a pitch of which story they wanted to do and kind of what they wanted to do with it. And we kind of evaluated all of them to see that we had a good mix. And I think we do. Within the anthology, we've got romance, we've got comedy, we've got horror, we've got action. And we kind of wanted to have that diversity, even though we still have that central theme of having a comic that has one of the story focused on each of the seven deadly sins. The stories are all separate, they just kind of they mix together thematically.
It always takes me a while to you always get six of the seven sins, and then, you know, it's like six of the seven, you know, dwarves. I always forget Bashful, and I always forget Wrath, and I don't know why, but they all come together. I started things out with Lust, then it goes to Greed. What's the rest of the order of the stories as far as the rest of the seven deadly sins?
Let's just shout out who everybody worked on what.
So, yeah, let's do that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, let's start with number one.
All right, well, let's just go. I did Greed with
No, I did Gluttony.
I did Gluttony
with a very talented artist from St. Louis named Ellis Ray III. And so I wanted to do a story about a food critic that goes to taste something he's never tasted before and got more than he bargained for. So who else?
This is David. I did Wrath with an artist I know in Chicago named Aaron Pittman. Basically, there's a traveling circus, and there's a couple that encounters a witch that steals the moon, and then basically the guy goes to get it back and loses his cool and ends up losing his love. So he paid the cost of wrath, I guess.
Next,
Drew, which is I. Sorry. I did Greed with a guy named Randy Jordan, who I knew in high school. I'm trying to bring him on board because he draws real well, and I like this dynamic style, and it really helped out my story.
He's a good drawer.
It's actually,
yeah, he draw real good.
He drew a Spider-Man the snow. He posted on his Facebook.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Was that with his urine or not?
No, that was, I think, with his penis. So close. You were almost there. But yeah, Randy's really good at drawing, and anytime he draws something, I'm blown away.
Jordan?
Oh. I did Sloth with a very talented artist.
Yeah.
Myself. It's a story about a girl that's too lazy to pay attention to her boyfriend.
It's based on a true story.
Based on, yeah.
is this a tale of heartache, Jordan?
Yeah.
He was channeling something. I'm not sure what.
I'm a sloth, so.
Well, and
I am the sloth, so I pick sloth because I am a sloth.
And in Sloth, the one of the main characters, where is she wearing a stash shirt, or is that just a trick of the eyes?
Oh, no, that's a stash shirt.
I was thinking.
I threw a whole bunch of little Easter eggs in there to self-promote myself.
Self-promote yourself. Awesome.
He's got his own comic book as like a poster on the,
yeah,
the people's
wall. It's on the wall, and yeah.
Jordan always likes to put that stuff in his stuff.
Yeah, I like to hide little things.
Easter eggs are fun, and they are I think valued and or cherished by you know, the fans. They really like to find that stuff. Looking at Pride, written by a young lady named Nikki Gress.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're not here tonight, but that was Nikki Gress, and she wrote that with the artist I've teamed up with before, Barry Lincoln. So they did Pride about a pastor who is having doubts, and how does he deal with his own doubts about faith when he's leading a church.
Then getting down to Envy.
Yep, that was me, Ryan.
Looks like you had the same colorist that Jordan did.
Yes. Yes, I did. Which was Jordan.
Just color splashes of green here.
But I wrote and illustrated that story, and it's about a man who has everything that you could ever want, except for family and everything like that. And so he's very envious of everyone else in his neighborhood, where everyone else is actually envious of him because he has everything else.
Wrath we've talked about, so I guess that just leaves the project at the very beginning, which we I don't know how we passed over this, but hello!
Yes, I'm Lauren. I did Lust. I wrote it and illustrated it. It's about Lady Lust.
Lady
Lust. This is the most kind of lust.
I was going to say something very similar to that. It seemed, you know, as I read over Lust, it seemed like it was a chance encounter, at least on one side of it, but very much plotted and methodical from the other.
Pretty much. I just sat down and wrote something, and that's what happened. So
great.
Great explanation.
The artistic,
right?
Method unfolds.
Well, you know, sometimes that's just the best way to do it, right? I mean, I'm not creative, but, you know, talking to you all, sit down, write something, like it, pass it on to the next person on the team.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Just smile and nod.
Yeah, there we go.
So anyway, let's talk about Seven Deadly Sins overall. If somebody, you know, wanted to, you know, and looking at it, there are issues or stories of various length. But if somebody wanted that run, wanted that collection, how do they go about getting it? Can they, you know, just get it online? How what's the, I don't want to say marketing process, but what's the distribution? There we go. Process of obtaining these wonderful Stash comics.
Okay. If you go on stashpublishing.com, there's a link to a web store, and you can buy it right from there. It'll arrive at your door, hopefully, within a week, I hope.
And then also, if you want a digital copy of it instead of a printed copy, you can pick that up at drivethroughcomics.com, and that's when through, it's THRU, drivethroughcomics.com.
The only way to spell through anymore, apparently.
Yeah, that's that new tech speak.
There's also some material that is available right there at Heroic Adventures, correct?
You can pick up Gunpowder Witch, which is Jordan's comic at Heroic.
There you go. Let's talk about the latest project that's come out of Stash Publishing, and I know we're talking with kind of the core of Stash Publishing, but certainly not exclusive to the seven of you sitting on the other end of this computer conversation, because what you're trying to do is give, you know, artists and creators, you know, from all across the area an outlet from which that they can let their, you know, prophetic voice be heard, if you will.
Well, that's one of the goals that we've always had from the beginning, was to kind of foster a creative community around us. What we found in going out to local conventions and in-store appearances and art gallery shows and all of that is there are a lot of people in the area who are engaged in doing sequential art and comics and web comics and things like that, but there hasn't really been a community on this side of the river. So that's one of the things that we're trying to foster, not just in our anthologies, but also this new comic strip project that we've got going on, Apocalypse.
Tell me a little bit about Apocalypse, first of all, before we get into, you know, the meat, no pun intended, of the story. But how did the concept come about?
Oh, there was some margaritas involved.
You know, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
The best
margaritas was and fried cheesecake and
yeah. Food and booze.
The best laid plans of mice, men, and margaritas.
Exactly. There's a new newspaper for the Riverbend area. It's called Advantage News, and they were already doing a write-up on Stash for their debut issue. And they approached us. They said, "Well, we have space on our comic page. Would you be interested?" And for us, it's like, "Yeah, to be on the same page as Garfield and Peanuts and all that. Heck yeah!" So, and they said, "Well, here's the thing. We're going to press in 2 weeks." So we had 2 weeks and to come up with a concept and to produce a first strip, to make it in the paper, to get delivered in thousands of homes all over this area. And so when we did a project like Seven Deadly Sins, where we were on a time crunch, that kind of prepared us for this thing, which is an insane time crunch. And as we started like thinking about a concept, what we wanted to do was to have kind of a big playground that still had some diversity. So we thought about a strip mall, because it's ubiquitous. Everybody's familiar with a strip mall, but in a strip mall, each store has its own character, and each employee within that store has its own character. So we thought, what if a strip mall is the only thing to survive an apocalypse, and that these people who probably under any other circumstance would never be in a room together are suddenly forced to become a community? And we thought that'd be a great setup, and we're having a lot of fun with it.
It's called Apocalypse. I'm guessing there's some swine influence. How did you work the pig into the concept, or are they just the inhabitants of the world?
You know those roadside attractions like the world's largest roosters? Well, this is the world's largest pig. And this strip mall was built around this attraction to bring in tourists, but it never really got any business. And then there's also a pet pig. That's the main character. So
there's a pig?
There's a pet pig named Professor Pickles. Professor Pickles.
So we have the world's largest pig. We have the strip mall that's kind of grew up around it. And each of the stores has kind of a pig overlay because they want that tourist dollar. And then we also have a pet pig who, it's my personal goal, he'll be hawking MetLife insurance in 10 years.
Now, it is my understanding, and obviously not just my understanding, but as I read Seven Deadly Sins, that it does have some, shall we say, adult themes or content. But when you have a publication that's, you know, going out to thousands of people, are you, for lack of a better term, cleaning it up a little bit, or is it that you know the market that this newspaper attracts, and so you don't have? I mean, it's more. You know, I'm from that area, so I'm familiar with the Riverfront Times, and most 10-year-old kids don't pick up the Riverfront Times, but a lot of 22-year-olds do. I mean, is that the demographic of Apocalypse?
Not necessarily. With this, you're wanting it to be more like your typical Sunday paper, and so, of course, we have to clean things up a bit, make it more family-friendly, I should say. And it's not too difficult for us to do. You know, we're not a horrible group of
degenerates.
Yes.
I was not trying to insinuate anything.
That's your opinion.
But yes, we wanted to clean it up and make it for all ages. So
and I remember, not to cut you off, but I remember reading the Sunday comics as a kid, and the Lockhorns. We all familiar with the Lockhorns, the Leroy and Loretta, and they'd always argue and bitch at each other, and instead of swear words, they had the like what we call now is the hashtag and the percent sign and the ampersand and everything else to block out the bad four-letter word that they were wanting to say. You obviously have a little bit of leeway with things like that.
We have a character who only speaks in Chinese characters, so maybe she's the one who's going to, like the TV show Serenity, she'll do all the cursing.
That is nice, because...
except when we find that one reader who reads Mandarin Chinese.
So, why is she saying frog?
What you thought was soup spoon ended up being something completely different.
Exactly.
Oh, no, that's excellent. And so how long has Apocalypse been running now?
Well, actually, it was last weekend was the first issue, or the first installment, and this coming weekend's going to be number two. So it's a brand-new endeavor.
The first anthology, you guys said you had lots of time to work on and kind of, you know, feel out your process. Seven Deadly Sins, you had a bit of a time crunch. Seems like everything is working to... Make it more time. I don't want to say time sensitive, and the words are, as they tend to do with me, escaping me rapidly as I talk more and more. But it seems like all of your work previously has been to, you know, shorten out the amount of time that you're actually working on something before you have to hand it in.
Exactly. I mean, practice makes perfect. I think we're all finding that we're getting quicker with things as we go about it. From drawing to coloring to lettering to putting it all together. So it's, each step along the way has kind of scaled us up to the next level. It's kind of like playing like a role-playing game where you go up levels and get new skills and all that sort of thing.
By the way, Stash Shorts, the name of the initial anthology, of course, Seven Deadly Sins. I've got to ask Drew and David, and also, Lauren, where are we at on the ginormous? Because I know we talked about it a few months ago, and I'm one of many eager to get my hands on it. Where are we at on that?
We did fall a little bit behind. We're getting back on track now. We had some issues with coloring that have now been sorted out. We're actually hoping to have it within a month. Not our full initial run, but at least a limited run that we could do locally to get to all the people that we need to get it to.
And I know that there has been a tremendous amount of support. I know you did the Kickstarter campaign, and that was a success, even though I feel like the Nerds United crew or Nerds United, you know, fans or whatever got on there a little bit late. It was kind of pushing that deadline, but I was happy that certainly that the deadline was or the goal was met and that we were able to proceed. Like I said, I'm really excited for that. In talking with Drew and Lauren, like I did, certainly generated a lot of interest from me, and hopefully we can share that story. Now, what as everybody kind of comes together on Apocalypse, what other side projects are out there that you all are working on?
I'm finishing up a comic called Pretty Face. I've been running it as a webcomic at prettyfacecomic.com, and I'm getting ready to bundle up the first chapter, and that's going to go to print.
Oh, I'm finishing up the second issue of Gunpowder Witch right now, and I just finished inking, so I just started. That should be a couple more months, maybe 2 months, and I'll start the Kickstarter for that.
Dave and I, we're almost wrapped up with writing Ginormous in its entirety, we're going to move on to a project called Baby Killer, which does not sound as bad as it does.
Wait. You mean it doesn't sound as bad as it is, or it's not as bad as it sounds?
It's not about killing babies.
Okay.
And then if that goes according to plan, and Ryan and I are both free, we're going to try and work on something called The Tripper, which is kind of like Trancers, Kill Bill kind of deal.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, and then hopefully before me and Drew get started on Tripper, I can actually finish my comic I've been working on for quite some time. But I mentioned it earlier, and it was called Somnium. But like I said, it should be out later this year.
The ladies have been awfully quiet.
Lauren's drawing, so don't bother her.
Yes. Currently drawing Ginormous.
We have some last pages to sneak in, so... She's busy.
They look good.
Oh, and there's no doubt about that in my mind.
Hashtag, oh my God.
Let's not get carried away on the hashtags, all right?
Hashtag, my bad.
Hashtag, better luck next time.
Hashtag, what the hell happened?
Hashtag, this is going downhill quick.
Hashtag, what?
Okay, stop.
Hashtag, I'm going to wait for you to finish.
Oh!
When I talked with Anthony and Shane back in early September, it seems like it hasn't been that long ago. I know that Stash Publishing was getting ready for Project Comic-Con. How did that go, and how were you received by the congoers? Which is not at all somebody who plays a musical instrument. Thought I'd clear that up.
Yeah.
Congoers.
I think it went really well, actually. It was a really great learning experience. Not the most financially beneficial, but definitely learned a lot more than, walked away with a lot more knowledge than we had initially going in, I think.
There are payment or compensation, avenues other than dollars. And if you come away with that experience and a little bit of extra knowledge, you know, certainly to, be more, I guess, financially beneficial to you down the road, and certainly help get you that leg up, so to speak.
Definitely.
So we discovered that Dave was a good dancer, and
I'm the best.
Before we lost him.
Before we lost.
Yeah.
Well, one of the good things about going to a local con like that is that you do meet other people in the creative community, and also people who are on the Illinois side. Meeting those on the St. Louis, Missouri side, and networking on them. We're hoping to work with a lot of those individuals on Apocalypse in the coming months.
We also found out that sometimes your childhood heroes you don't always recognize or know were your childhood heroes until they remind you or refresh you. Would you walk us through that story, Dave?
Wait. I do like stories. I'm going to get cozy and get some popcorn.
Oh, please do. It's a doozy.
There's a comic that I really liked as a kid called Young Justice that DC did. Based kind of just a younger Justice League that was initially characters Impulse and Robin and Superboy. It was illustrated by an artist called Todd Knock, who I did not realize, like, that's a comic that I grew up trying to kind of redraw myself, like, that style. And eventually I got a little stir crazy at the booth and started walking around, and just the artist right across the hall from us was Todd Nock, and I did not realize it, and hopefully didn't make too big of a fool out of myself, because I was looking through his art and I asked him, I was like, hey, are you familiar with a comic called Young Justice? And he's like, oh yeah, I drew that. And I was like, okay, well, now I feel like an idiot. So
I mean, he had a huge banner behind him.
I know. Yeah,
he could have hit him over the head with it and he would have known.
Yeah, I was pretty oblivious. So that was cool. I got to meet the artist that I like that most influenced me as a child.
You guys are, and ladies certainly, a group of friends. Did it start as friends, and then you bring a friend into Stash Publishing, or did you kind of get together saying, "Oh, you like to create comics? I'm working on that." And then how does that go? I guess associate to friend, or friend to associate, or is there a blend of all of the above?
Strangers to friends is really what happened.
I mean, some of us knew each other beforehand. A lot of it was just, we just kind of met and like, oh, you like comics? I like comics too. Maybe we should do some of that.
I've got a lot of weird nights that start and end something similar, so I understand. No, but
like you said about timing, it was just the time was right for all of us to get together and make some magic.
Because, I mean, it's a close bond that I think you all share. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's the case. But, I mean, you guys are, obviously you're meeting, the Stash Publishing, executive board meeting or whatever you want to call it once a month. But I know you guys certainly see each other other times throughout the month, and you all get together. I mean, I, like I said, Facebook friends with Drew, because I've known him the longest, and Anthony as well, because we, get together and set up these interviews and these shows. But I see you guys, you're all out having a lot of fun, and I think that's got to be big reason why you're as successful as you are.
Yeah, I mean, why do comics if you can't have fun with it as well?
I agree.
Yeah, we've had other jobs, so this is a time for us to have fun. And I mean, when we can go out and go to cons and like that and meet people and just do what we love doing and meet people who also love what we're into, that's an amazing thing. So we're having a blast with it.
I don't know if you guys saw, I saw this in my Facebook feed. I think it was earlier today. There's a comic store up in Brooklyn, New York that they are doing away with the big two, the DC and the Marvel, and starting to focus, I guess, their customer or clientele, however you want to look at it, prefers the independent stuff and kind of gets overshadowed, as I think many books probably do, by the DC Marvel stuff. Obviously, you have the avenue, you have the outlet there, Heroic Adventures, where Stash Publishing books and materials can get out. But your thoughts on having comic stores that are actual places you walk in, not just online destinations, but where that kind of focus their attention on the independents.
Yeah, we love stores like the one you're talking about, Star Clipper over on the Del Mar Loop. They're ultra supportive of local creators and indie comics. So one of the things that is our goal for 2014 is to kind of expand our reach. We've started local, and we've got a good basis to launch out and do some other stuff.
How big, I mean, certainly I hope all the success in the world to you all, but how big can Stash Publishing get? I mean, obviously always looking to expand, and we talked already, Apocalypse here, you're working with some of those creators that you met at Project Comic-Con or that you know who aren't necessarily yet a part of the Stash Publishing family, always looking to grow, always looking to expand, and take Stash Publishing, which may have started out at Heroic Adventures in Edwardsville, Illinois. Check them out. But, that radius is just seems like it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
So big.
We're going to be bigger than Marvel. But really, with Kickstarter, the couple of Kickstarters we've had actually had people from other countries back us.
So that's getting our books out. And Anthony's artist was from, where is he?
Argentina. So,
and he's got a book, a box of books down there.
So yeah, Stash, you can check out Stash Public. All your Argentina listeners, hit up Sergio Tarquini. He's an amazing artist, and you can figure out which local comic book store over there you can grab my book at.
Man, press 2 for Spanish. And you know, I'm just curious. Obviously, like you said, the Kickstarter campaigns have been a success, but I wonder how many times Drew had to sell his body to a rich prince in Dubai.
There is
six.
Six.
It was six.
I lost count. It doesn't matter.
Whatever helps get the work out there, right, Drew?
You're dang right.
That's right.
I got to put the leg work in. However I got to do it, that's fine.
We didn't mean that your legs need to be straight up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
So, Heroic Adventures in Edwardsville, Star Clipper in the Delmar Loop, and, of course, StashPublishing.com. Where else is there? I mean, Stash Publishing's on Facebook. I know you're on Twitter. Where else can people find Stash Publishing?
Ooh.
Or did I hit it all?
I think you hit it all. The website's kind of the hub for everything else, where you can connect with us on Twitter or Facebook. Just follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Find out what we got going on in the area. We're always up to something. We've got events where we get together with local artists and writers and do fun creative activities and things like that. I don't think we hit on it, but with Apocalypse, one of the unique things that we're going to do with that comic is to make it where it doesn't have a set creative team. We're going to rotate it out. So what we're looking to do is all these people that we've been meeting in the area that do comics and do an awesome job, we're going to be bringing them on board and having them do 4 weeks of Apocalypse and kind of spotlight all this talent that we have in this area.
So Apocalypse itself, while, you know, every month or so, story might get tweaked. You're going to have a little creative team on a run for about a month or so, you think? At least, ideally?
Yeah, that's a plan to do four weekends. So we'll have an artist or a writer or both come on and do the comic for 4 weeks and then hand it off to the next person. All the while, Stash will be like making sure the story's going where it needs to go, but you know, given artists and writers and other creative individuals, just kind of the sandbox to play in and you know, show their stuff.
And I think it's key, that article that you had in the Advantage News, that, you know, when it's talking about Apocalypse, it's saying, you know, not just pretty much what we've been talking about, what you just said, you know, different creative teams. That way the readers know, you know, let's say in March, hey, wait a minute, this isn't the Apocalypse I've just been reading. They have that, you know, that pre-foretold or whatever knowledge that, you know what, it's kind of the same story, different artist, different writer perhaps for this month, but, you know, and like you said, get more artists, more writers from the area involved. And has there been any talk? I mean, obviously you just started, you know, seeing Apocalypse in the Advantage News, but, you know, as it goes on, I guess you got to, you know, hope for some syndication down the road.
Exactly. This opportunity fell into our laps, but it's not going to be the last paper we're in.
Well, that's good. I like that we're going to dominate the world attitude. But when talking with 7 comic book creators, if they don't go in, I guess, with the attitude of we're going to take over the world, they're probably in the wrong business.
Correct.
Very true.
I was waiting for somebody to like jump on board and agree with me. I just thought I was spinning my wheels there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Drew. I appreciate it.
Good showing.
I'm not even sure what that was. Again, StashPublishing.com. I want to thank you all for joining me on Nerds United to talk about it.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, shucks.
It's fun.
We'll do it. We'll check in with you again in a few months and see how Apocalypse is coming along and the other projects that are set to go. So, Shane and Jordan and Alice and David and Lauren and Ryan and Anthony and Drew, again, thank you all. Wishing you all the best of success as Stash Publishing continues to grow. Check them out, StashPublishing.com, Stash Publishing on Facebook and Twitter, where you can go basically StashPublishing.com and find out, you know, all that I haven't told you or that they haven't told you themselves, you know, about how to contact them on Facebook or on Twitter individually, check out Stash Shorts, check out Seven Deadly Sins, and is there a way for the non-Greater Alton area listeners that they could view Apocalypse after perhaps it's published in the paper? Will you be posting it online for them to see?
Yeah, we're going to post the, I guess, back issues, even though they're back strips, I guess you could say, online.
Baby back.
When the new one comes out, we'll post the last week's online, so in case you missed something, you're not completely lost on what's going on, you can always read the back issues.
And we're treating it like a television series, so at the end of season one, we're going to compile it all in a printed publication along with some supplemental strips.
Now, because it's a comic strip, it's one season, I mean, are we talking a calendar year here or you know, a quarter of the year, a third of the year? What do you consider, like, where would you put that cutoff point at?
Calendar year.
Yeah, we're thinking a year, like 12, like each month being an episode. So mm-hmm. You have 12 episodes in a season for a year.
That would be, I'm just going to say, it's great for comic strips. That would be the worst television show ever.
It's like those British TV shows, you know, they have like four episodes and that's the season, like Sherlock.
That's true. While we're talking television real quick, and I know that Drew watched the Super Bowl. Did everybody else catch at least a portion of that horrible, horrible game of football?
It was a four-hour squash match.
It wasn't fun.
I watched commercials. I mean,
I fell asleep a couple of times.
Commercials weren't.
I don't remember much.
I ate all my friends' food.
I ate too much as well. Hashtag fat kid problems. but
here you go.
Get people hooked.
Let's talk about some of those commercials, particularly since I've got you here. Let's talk about some of those comic title movies. Captain America. Winter Soldier trailer. Did everybody see that? What'd you think?
I actually missed that one.
I missed that's it. The only one. This is the very beginning of the game.
God.
Actually,
it was. I
missed the whole first quarter.
It looks like it's gonna be real good.
It'll be legit.
It better be good.
I think Spider-Man 2 is gonna be better than everyone's thinking too.
Yes.
Chris Evans is dreamy.
I like his hair.
And you mentioned a good point because at least. Not so much Chris Evans is being dreamy. I'm not, you know, I'm neither agreeing nor.
Let's be honest, here he is.
Yeah, let's make it clear that he is.
I'm neither agreeing nor disagreeing with the statement, but, you know, a lot of movie theaters coming out, you know, saying, hey, come on, studios, let's shorten up the time of trailers that we got to show. And then, bam, Sony comes out with the almost 4-minute Spidey 2 trailer. I really enjoyed the trailer. I, of course, saw it the next day on YouTube, as I'm sure a lot of people did, or went back and watched it. There's some speculation that poor Petey Parker is going to be suffering a loss, you know, in his life in the movie. It's kind of expected, knowing the character from the first one and what we've seen from the second one, but any speculation as to the potential death of Gwen Stacy?
Drew.
I don't know, man. Because they filmed scenes. I don't remember her name with the character that was going to be Mary Jane, and she ultimately got edited out of the movie. So I'm not 100% sure anymore. And there is that clip that everyone thinks where he's like screaming and he's all teary eyed. Is the scene where, spoiler alert, his love interest gets it? But I don't. I really don't know. I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I'd be okay
for three movies, so
probably not.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. See, what could have happened with Spidey was that, I don't know, maybe he just rolled his ankle or something, and he's just in pain. and then the last one that I saw probably again the next day, but Transformers: Age of Extinction. Any excitement for the Dinobots?
You put Wahlberg in anything, I'll watch it. Oh, and Grimlock's cool too.
Was that "Shut Up and Take My Money"? That meme going out there?
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, people like us, you know, the comic book fans, we've got a lot to look forward to, not just this year, but certainly down the road as well. You know, from the studios, from the Hollywood side of it. I'm really excited, as I said, for Stash Publishing. I wish you all the very best. I look forward to talking with you again here in, you know, a few months after Apocalypse settles down and gets a loyal following. and we'll see where we are at that time.
That sounds amazing.
Awesome.
For Drew and Anthony and Ryan and Lauren and David and Alice and Jordan and Shane, this has been Nerds United. We'll see you down the road.
Bye.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.